Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Susan Offit, Administrator of the Economic Research Service at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And joining us in our conversation is Owen Barwell, a PwC consultant. Well, Susan, let's probe a little more on the kinds of services and information you provide to USDA. Could you describe some of the products?
Well, we're in the knowledge business, so our product line includes information, descriptive information, say, about the food and agricultural system. What do people eat? What do they spend their money on? How much money is spent in restaurants? Basic facts about commodity markets. What are exports? What are imports? What do we think prices will be? That's part of our output. Another part, and what I think may be of paramount importance, is the research output, really the analytical work that tells people why things happen. And the descriptive part's important. What's going on? What do we know about it? But our research is really intended to get at causality, about why behavior takes place, because that's the key to understanding how to design good policy. If you understand why things happen, then you may be able to affect the outcome. And then we have certain data services that we provide. It's descriptive, but we're also providing data that other research economists can use, whether they're in universities or private sector. So we have a range of information products. And in the past year, we have become a web-based operation. And we have gone from the traditional paper-based research academic orientation to electronic delivery. That's enabled us to serve this diverse group of customers we have much more effectively because we talk to them in different ways. The way we talk to people in commodity markets is different from a policy official and is different from our colleagues in research. And the web and the web delivery gives us the ability to put all that different kind of material up in one place by topic so that we can customize delivery.
How do you collect all the data? The amount spent in restaurants, the crops, how's that all collected?
Well, we rely on primarily other agencies of government to do the data collection for us. One of our sister agencies in the research area is the National Ag Statistics Service, and they do the census of agriculture every 5 years, a lot of market and evaluation. They're the people who go out and estimate corn yields, say, in the middle of the summer. So they're probably our largest single supplier. But we also turn to the Bureau of Labor Statistics for food prices, the Census Bureau for information on rural areas. I didn't mention that we have a great concern with rural America and rural development. So we are scavengers, and there are very few data collection agencies in the federal government that we have not relied on at some point in time for our raw material.
Susan, in our first segment, you talked about the kinds of people that you employ at ERS, and I've been fortunate enough to meet a few of them too. They're very highly educated and skilled, but they must be a tough bunch to manage. How have you managed to deal with that?
Well, of course, it's a pleasure to work with all these people who are listening. But knowing how they're trained in the setting, the institutional setting at the university in which we've all existed for many years, we appreciate that when you come into this hierarchical setting, you can't all of a sudden tell people who have just finished their PhD or been out for 5 or 10 years, do this tomorrow, do that tomorrow. For us to do the best job, we have to have people who are intellectually engaged in their work, who are driven by curiosity as much as by their skills. So that means that there's the management trick, I think, and I can't pass judgment on whether or not we're completely successful, but I think we've got some way down the road, is to come to a shared understanding of what interesting problems are so that people are motivated to work on the things that the agency needs to have done. Now, every once in a while, we're going to have to work on some things that don't interest us very much. We understand that. But by and large, you'd like it to be an interaction between the analysts, the managers, we're accountable for the output, and then our customers. So trying to get people more involved in the problem that we face, whether it's an agency trying to deliver a program or a commodity group struggling with a big change in their international market, that helps a lot. But self-determination and problem definition are really key when you're trained at that level. And so we have to be mindful that people need to participate.
Is it by definition a flatter organization with less levels of management? Is that what that yields?
We are the flattest organization in USDA, if not the federal government. I think we have one manager for every 13 or 15 people. And, you know, really, once you get a PhD, you ought to be able to work without a lot of close supervision. So, I mean, it should be that way anyway. But it also turns out that's the way you want it to be, because people are going to, in a creative process, the research process isn't predictable. Micromanagement doesn't really suit that very well. So we are a flat organization, and it is really, it's a hierarchy, but when you're working on any given problem, you want to create a community of colleagues, and we pull them from all divisions and try not to let the organization keep us from putting together the right resources.
And there must be some hiring challenges too, given that people have to have specialist skills but also be able to move around the organization and have the breadth of capabilities too. How do you manage personnel hiring in that context?
Well, it's not a requirement that you have a PhD to work at ERS. Most people do. If you look at what we actually say is required, it's a certain amount of training in economics. But clearly, to function in this environment where you're an independent researcher, you have to have the skills that you learn in graduate school about how to conduct research, how to test hypotheses, how to do statistics, how to run a program. So when we go out and look for people, we've decided that we will look for people who have the best fundamental analytical skills. Now, we're all in when we get our PhD, you write your dissertation, you become a subject matter specialist mm-hmm. as well. But over the course of your career, you may want to change emphasis. You may be interested in labor markets in one place and maybe environmental economics in another time in your career. So that's a good thing, the flexibility. But what it means is that we have become increasingly agnostic about where we look for economists. For most of its history, we've relied on the colleges of agriculture and the land-grant universities. That's where agricultural economists come from.
Yeah.
But increasingly, and particularly as we move in more and more into trying to understand the well-being of people in food stamp programs, we have to look outside to the mainstream economic departments. And anymore, it may be 50-50 where we find them. But the key is to find people who are solid in terms of their research skills, because they can learn the subject matter as they go along. And having that curiosity and that willingness to be flexible is something that we look for.
Let me shift gears a little bit and ask about the processes you do. You create reports, you do research, you collect data. What kind of technology do you use?
Well, information technology, it's electronic now. We have come to a system where all our internal communication is electronic. We have a bulletin board. We have email. Everyone has that. But we really, there's no paper flow in our agency anymore, except the stuff that comes in from the department, which is not fully electronic. But that's okay. We can scan it. And so we try to do things by wire, as it were. And every document that we create has an electronic existence. It doesn't just exist on hard paper, hard copy. And it's the basis then for dissemination into the web. So we're not always re-entering and reformatting. We're really working with one document and then using our software to relate it to an internal information management system, to relate it to a website. Owen knows we're not quite there yet, but that's our goal, is to not have to duplicate paper and products all the time, because that's a big expense.
How do you worry about the integrity of the data you use?
Well, for a long time we solved that problem by not making the data available to anyone. So the question of maintaining confidentiality or worrying about how clean it was didn't come up. But now that we've made a big investment in the website, of course, we want to make the data transparent to people who want to understand how we've used it in analysis, but who also want to use it themselves. This creates a lot of challenges, for example, when we're working with micro-level data, say answers to a farm survey. That's confidential. So we have to we're learning how to build security into our website so that people can have access, but still we won't breach the confidentiality requirements. The question of the transparency that allows people to say, well, you might have used these data in this analysis, but these data were so, you know, flawed that we can't believe what you said, that's a bigger challenge. We're working now with the other federal statistical agencies to come up with guidelines for information quality. And that goes beyond questions of can you replicate, say, a regression, to documenting where the data came from. Are they survey? How good was the survey? Is it, you know, statistically representative? And that's a big job, because a lot of the data was Owen worked with us on a project where we discovered that that people, it's a form of capital. If you're an analyst,
that's absolutely right.
It's really important to you. That's a lot of your worth to the organization. If you have in your desk drawer information and you're the only one who has it. So there's a reluctance to share it broadly because that's really important to your value in the organization. And Owen helped us try to create an environment where people were willing to do that. So it turns out to be the question of access to data and transparency goes right down to the heart of the matter, which is control of information and how that determines your worth as a researcher and your contribution.
And how about the quality control on, say, the generation of a result? Research yields a certain finding.
All our research has to be done to disciplinary standards. So however we talk about it, however we describe it to an audience, the underlying work has to be done with the right methods and reach the right conclusions. And we use, just as you do in the academic setting, peer review. And we also have our reports reviewed by people in the programs. I mean, we don't want to mischaracterize their environment either.
Was a good stopping point. It's time for a break. Come back after the break as we continue our conversation with Susan Offit of the Department of Agriculture. We'll ask her more about how she manages the process of conducting research and publishing results when the Business of Government Hour continues.